From Radio Catskill Studios in Liberty, New York, this is the Local Edition, and I'm Jason Dole. Thank you for joining me tonight. Coming up, a concert planned, curated, and performed by local students, and a dinner that will feed and inspire local artists. Harmonic Voyage and Voices Through Brushstrokes, two upcoming events in Liberty, New York. Amanda Walgren and Hope Blecker join me in the studio to talk about them both in the second half of the program. And amid a housing crisis, Newburgh's planning board gives a proposed waterfront development a thumbs down. Community members warned of gentrification. The mayor said that he thinks it still should happen. I'll get all the details from the Times Union coming up in a few minutes. But first, we're going to start with news from Sullivan County, where New York's Republican gubernatorial candidate visited today. Bruce Blakeman, who is also a Nassau County executive, joined other Republican officials in Forestburg today to oppose a proposed large-scale solar facility in Sullivan County. Blakeman says that ORIS, the state agency that manages solar projects permits, represents, quote, big footing of state government, end quote.
This is the absolute worst of government. When they come into local communities, small communities like this, and because they're the big state government, they think they can trample over people's rights. That ends when I become governor. I will end the green energy scam.
Yeah.
Blakeman has slammed Governor Hochul and state Democrats for attempting to fast-track utility-scale solar. The proposal includes a 200-megawatt solar energy and 100-megawatt battery energy storage facility in the towns of Thompson and Forestburg. Outside of Forestburg's town hall, Blakeman was joined by Senator Peter Oberacker and Assemblymember Chris Tagg. Oberacker is running against Representative Josh Riley for New York's 19th Congressional District, while Tagg is looking to replace Oberacker in the 51st Senate District this November. Tagg says that large-scale solar projects hurt upstate New Yorkers the hardest.
New York State is one of the top producers of agricultural products, not only in the state, but in the world. And we continue to take productive farmland out of the circuit for stupid projects like this that do nothing.
The Solar Energy Industries Association found that utility solar uses less than 0.1% of American prime farmland. If approved, this project would be the largest permitted utility-scale solar project in the Catskills and the Hudson Valley, spanning over 1,200 acres. In other news, New York Governor Kathy Hochul says she's concerned about new federal regulations that would let people buy guns online and have them shipped to their homes. The Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is seeking changes that would let gun buyers bypass licensed dealers. People buying guns online currently need to undergo a background check and pick up their purchases from a dealer. The Democratic governor says that's important.
A background check is everything. It's so critical. Also, mental health screening. We need to know. There's people who should not have a gun in their hands, and the federal government doesn't give a damn.
The ATF's proposal says background checks can happen remotely and that the new rules would provide more flexibility for gun buyers. AI scams are on the rise. The FBI estimates seniors lost around $8 billion to them last year. That's up 50% from 2024. U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand from New York is the ranking member on the Aging Committee. She's sponsoring two bills that would empower federal agencies and law enforcement to stop these scams.
Scammers use AI to generate deepfake images, clone voices, and launch phishing attacks that drain senior savings. In many cases, AI didn't invent these scams. It supercharged them, making old cons more convincing and easier to pull off.
Gillibrand says the bills would put the FBI in charge because they have experience with foreign-based criminal networks, and that's where a lot of the AI scams originate. Well, last month, Newburgh's planning board voted to block a major waterfront development. The decision sided with members of the public who voiced concerns but opposed the River City's mayor, who would still like to see this project happen. Katie Andres, staff writer for the Times Union, is on the story. I spoke to her earlier this afternoon. Katie Andres, welcome to the Local Edition.
Thank you so much.
So I want you to give us an overview of what this proposal was. What was the developer hoping to do in Newburgh?
Yeah, so the Bonura Hospitality Group proposed a multi-use development that would be built on the Newburgh waterfront. It would have 172 market-rate apartments as well as 25,000 square feet of office space on the ground floor, which would provide around 100 jobs.
Now, we gave people the headlines that Newburgh Planning Board is essentially blocking this development for now. Can you tell us what happened at the planning board meeting where they made that decision?
Yeah, so there are a couple concerns that were brought up over the few months that this development was in discussion. The land that it's being built on is contaminated, so the developers would have to figure out how to deal with that. And the development is 5 buildings, 6 stories each. It's very large. People were concerned that it would block access to the waterfront. And people are also just worried that Newburgh would become the next Beacon and that there would be issues of gentrification if more apartment buildings like these were built.
Right. And on that last point, you're saying it seems like a lot of the members of the public were bringing these concerns. Was the board hearing them? We can see how they voted, but do you think the board was hearing them, especially on that last point of gentrification and costs going up, things like that?
Yeah, I definitely think that those concerns were definitely put onto the forefront of discussion. I spoke with Councilwoman Ramona Monteverde about it, and she was echoing a lot of the concerns that people in the city had. It was a close vote. It was 4-3. I think the board does see some benefit in this, but ultimately they need to figure out the kinks in the road in order for it to be built.
Right. And the proposal does have some supporters, and that would include the mayor of Newburgh. What are the supporters of this project saying? What do they see as the benefits?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, like, it is more housing. It is more jobs in the area. I think that's a really big thing for people who want this apartment building built. It also would connect the waterfront to Washington Street, and that lack of connection has been a point of concern for a pretty good while, I believe. And from the mayor's point of view, I'm not sure how popular of an opinion it is. Since the Bonuras and the Kaplan family already own this land, it's the parking lot of the former Newburgh Beacon Ferry. He is worried that by blocking this, they're also blocking free enterprise. They're also going against capitalist values because they're not letting them build on land they already own.
Okay, so there's kind of a political, philosophical angle to what the mayor is saying there on that last one?
Yes, there is.
An ideological standpoint that the mayor is standing on. I guess something else that would be in the plus column, at least for Newburgh, is the developers aren't seeking payment in lieu of taxes. Is that correct?
Yes. A lot of affordable housing developments do use these pilot programs in order to negotiate a different property tax rate. And it incentivizes developers to build affordable housing because ultimately they probably don't make a lot of profit off of that with lower rent prices. And this development, because it's market rate, is going to do standard property tax rates, which could really help the city's economy.
And can you just talk a little bit more about what that means, that this is, quote unquote, market rate housing, especially in the context of the ongoing housing crisis in the Hudson Valley?
Yeah, market rate essentially just means that it is a standard, more expensive rate for these apartments. It's not based on income. It's not based on, person's work and person's money. It's just a flat rate. And it is more expensive than affordable housing. And that is sort of a point of contention as well. Like, there's a huge affordability crisis in the Hudson Valley. A lot of people cannot afford to pay rent. And so if we're building more apartments that are just as unaffordable as the others, who is that actually benefiting? But then again, like with the pilot programs, like maybe the towns and the cities do get more profit from this and more tax revenue from this. Even if that does mean like people who can't afford it not being able to live in those spaces. The thing about Newburgh is that they are building a lot of affordable housing developments as we speak. So this would sort of just even it out in a way.
Right. And you're talking about lower income people not being able to live in these houses, but there's also a concern about then lower income people being further removed from access to the waterfront. Were people raising those concerns?
Yes. It's the development has a really big footprint. And the waterfront is so important to Newburgh, and it should be a place where people can congregate and everything like that. And it would definitely like block off a large portion of it. And then if it's just this area of the waterfront that's only accessible to wealthier people, that sets a kind of dangerous precedent, I would say. But like I said before, they are trying to connect the waterfront to the town. The developers are in the process of revising things to address that concern. And there are public parking lots proposed in the development as well.
Okay. So is that it for this proposal? We talked about it, like, you know, the board weighed the pros and cons. They voted it down, essentially. It was a close vote, but that's the way the vote went. Is that the end of this project?
It's definitely not the end as of right now. There is still a chance for the developers to redesign the development and to come back to the planning board with a new proposal. And there's not a strict timeline of when that's going to be, or when they might come up with a new design, come back to the board, but it's not dead in the water yet. It is something that the developers are looking to solve.
Did the developers give any indication or statement as to what their next steps are?
Unfortunately, no. I was not able to speak to them. I did reach out to them, but they didn't immediately respond. But the mayor did say that they are going back to the drawing board.
Okay. Well, is there anything else about this story that we didn't explain to folks you want to make sure we know before we go?
I think one thing is that because it is in the parking lot of the Newburgh Beacon Ferry, there are still people who are advocating for that service to come back. It was like a quick, easy, accessible way to get across the river. And I'm not sure really where those locals are going with that, if they're still very passionate about it, or if the town is willing to reconsider rebuilding the ferry. But that is definitely also a point of controversy.
Right. And if they put a development there, that at least would indicate a pretty clear indication that they wouldn't be bringing the ferry back, at least not at its old location. How long has Newburgh been without that ferry?
I want to say only a year. I think it only closed last year.
Oh, so this is still something that people are dealing with. This is a pretty fresh change.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for going over all of this for us. I'll remind folks again that we've been talking to Katie Andres, who's a staff writer with Times Union. And this story is up now at timesunion.com. Katie, thank you so much for breaking this down for us.
Thank you for having me.
We've got more news to come. Liberty students performing in the park on Sunday. More on that in a moment. Stay with us.
You're listening to The Local Edition, winner of Excellence in Broadcasting Awards from the New York State Broadcasters Association. Radio Catskill. Listen local.
For the moment, at least, Europe is caught in a situation where it's going to be thinking much more short-term about these fires. How do you cope with the next month, 2 months? And then let's address that epic issue of can we get back to some really ambitious net zero targets?
I'm Zolan Kano-Youngs. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
This week on Cat's Cast, my guest is Kara Cruikshank, founder and director of Voices Unveiled, a nonprofit that reaches women in countries like Afghanistan and helping them reclaim their voices.
I have a 13-year-old student. She said, "The Taliban are afraid of educated women because they know what an educated woman can do."
Saturday at 11 a.m., right here on Radio Catskill.
It's the Local Edition. I'm Jason Dole. Students from Liberty will be singing and playing instruments in LaPolte Park this Sunday in a concert they planned and curated themselves. Also, artists and community members will gather for a dinner in a few weeks that will inspire new artwork to display in Liberty. Let's find out more from the organizers of these events. Hope Blecker of Hope's Compass, welcome back to the Local Edition.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Amanda Walgren of Gresk Productions, welcome back to Radio Catskill.
Thank you so much.
So let's start with talking about what's going on this Sunday. This is an event called Harmonic Voyage, and it's happening in LaPolte Park right on Main Street. First off, what's happening? But then let's tell the story of like how this came to be.
So Harmonic Voyage is a group of local youth who recently graduated from the Liberty School system and or are still in the Liberty School system. And this is the second time that they are going to be performing together for the public. And it is rain or shine. So we have covered Mother Nature. And it came about because I approached my neighbor, Erin, and she said, yes, I'll do this with my friends. And they did a beautiful job a few years ago, and they sang at Liberty Museum and Arts Center. And then this year, they're bringing it outdoors. That was their request. And hopefully the rain will not be present for it. And they chose an array of songs to explore the emotions and experiences connected with the general theme of the Holocaust and survivorship. And I really left the choices up to them. And I know Amanda has been working with them on some of the technology and audio for it and getting more youth involved in not just the singing part and the instrumental part, but also in the camera behind the scenes part.
Yes, yes.
And Amanda, like, can you tell me a little bit about how this is set up and like where's the music coming from? So it's not just singing, but they're also going to be playing instruments?
Oh, yeah. They're going to be playing quite a few different instruments throughout the performance, and we were very excited. So we will have them set up with microphones so that everybody can hear them. There's going to be some string instruments, some horns, and possibly some percussion, but we will figure that out as we get a little bit closer in the next few days here. So there will be an assortment of instruments, and we will be hearing them through the amplification at the Liberty stage there.
You know, often when there are student performances, student band, student chorus, that's happening at the school, it's happening during the school year. Here we are, it's the end of July in the summer, and you got a bunch of students doing something. How do you wrangle? How do you get people together? How was this organized to even get them to practice?
It's all the kids.
Yeah, they're really being self-motivated. Yeah, I asked Erin because I knew she played an instrument, and she's home for the summer, and last year she said, oh, yes, we can do this. It'll be fun to get together with my friends before she goes off to college, and they were here still for school. And they have kept in touch. So they really motivate each other. They've been rehearsing. They came up with the flyer. They came up with the list of songs. So they are very motivated to show a positive side of the youth in our community. And they want to be seen that way.
And can you give us any hints of the songs, or is that going to be a surprise for when we get there?
I think let's keep it a surprise. I don't think that's mine or Hope's place to share.
Okay.
The kids have been working very hard.
Because it really is their decision.
Yes,
really,
they have created the entire program. They put a lot of work into their run of show. I have done barely any kind of work towards it. I've just kind of guided them very minimally because they have been really attentive to all of the different moving pieces. And I was so surprised to see this level of organization coming from a group of high school and, you know, recently graduated high school students. It's absolutely amazing.
The peak I will share is that they are going to celebrate the joy and hope that can emerge after some of life's darkest moments.
You have a guest performer listed here. Why is he a guest?
Because he is not part of the official Harmonic Voyage group, but he is going to be playing with them a few of the selections.
All right. And now you said a couple times it's going to be rain or shine at LaPolte Park. I just want you to clarify this for a listener, lest they think if it rains, does it mean they got to sit there in the park under an umbrella and just deal with it like it's Woodstock or what?
No. If it rains, they're going to be at the Senior Center. Right next door.
Okay. Yes. So that's an easy venue move for both you and the audience.
Yes.
If okay. So you guys got the bases covered. And again, this is Harmonic Voyage. It's happening this Sunday at 4 in the afternoon at LaPolte Park Stage on North Main Street. And now we're also here to talk about an event that you've got coming up in August, so just about 3 weeks away. And I know, Hope, you've been planning this for a while, and this is called Voices Through Brushstrokes, Celebrating Community Through Songs and Art. And this will be taking place at the mall, the Sullivan County Mall that's right across from the Liberty Diner and, of course, is right next to the Visitors Association and like all the businesses that are out in front there. But you'll be inside. Listeners of Radio Catskill, if you're familiar with our big music sale in November, that's where we have our music sale.
That's it.
So what is this event?
So Voices Through Brushstrokes, I'm happy to be collaborating with Amanda and Sean and Casa Di Longobardi and the artists. We are in that space because we want to show people the beauty and the fun that can be in that space. So your listeners and your attendees have been in that space and know that there's life that can be happening in there. And inside, it's very quiet. So we are going to bring food there. We are going to have music by Shane Renison and Lourdesa Hunt and Danielle Strassman, who we just found out about as her accompanist. So that'll be beautiful. And we are going to have artists there. And what the artists are going to be doing is not painting on the spot. They are going to be mingling with the attendees who come and who are enjoying the Italian buffet that we're going to be having and listening to Shane and Lourdesa sing. And then they're going to take that vibe, and each artist will be given an 8-foot by 3-foot blank canvas, and they will have 3 weeks to take the vibe of the night, transfer how they feel about it onto a canvas, and then those canvases will be hung up in what I like to refer to as the lighthouse. I feel like that atrium is like a beacon there.
Inside the space there. Yes. Yeah, there's a lot of like skylights, a lot of natural light comes right down through the center.
Yes.
And you saw this and you said to yourself, there should be some art here.
I did. And we connected and were like, this is an empty space. It could be a gallery. It could be something fun. And so I pursued different grants to get some funding, brought some people in there. And they're like, yeah, it could be. It could be. I'm like, let's do it. So, and then it's like, we're going to do it. So yes. It's been very motivating.
So this event isn't just this event. I mean, you're doing this on Thursday, August 20th. It's as you just described it, but it's really just kind of the kickoff. It's like phase one of a longer project.
Right. And Amanda was very enthusiastic. Let's make the reveal an event. So go ahead.
That was my next question. Is there going to be like a big reception or something on the other end when the artist finished creating the work?
Yes, we can save the date for October 1st. We will do the reveal of all of the art that these amazing artists, we've had some great submissions come through, and they will be professionally hung and lit. So those art pieces will be on display for everybody coming off of that highway and passing through the Sullivan Avenue. And whether it's daytime or nighttime, they will be able to see the amazing art that will be produced from this project.
Amanda, what did you think of this idea when you heard it? And what have you been doing to help out?
Well, I'm born and raised Liberty. You know, I want to see as much growth as I can here in this community. We are surrounded by so much talent, so much love, so much kindness. You know, there's so much good here. And, you know, like any other town or county in the entire world, we have our problems and we have to focus on the good. You know, as long as we all come together and community supports community, we can really make a difference. And that's what I saw through Hope when, you know, we've been working together for quite a few years now just on the tech side of things. And, you know, we were there to support her with all of the different moving parts of her amazing community projects that have been going on thus far. And now I just jumped in and I just offered to be here to help Hope bounce ideas off of, be a little bit more organizing on the back end and bringing people together. That's my biggest thing is I want to bring people together. And that's what Hope wants to do. So it was a perfect fit. And I feel like we are very morally aligned. And we just want to grow, and we want to see everybody grow together because we can.
And you want to see good things like in the community writ large, but specifically in Liberty.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I work all over the county, and there is a lot of great things going around almost every weekend definitely every weekend, but almost every night in Sullivan County in the
year,
summertime.
Yes.
And it's so hard to get around everywhere and catch all of the great things that is going on. And, you know, bringing more of this kind of community programming to Liberty, that my hometown, is definitely something that I want to see happen, and I will do, you know, put in as much work as I can to make that happen.
Well, that's great. Bringing the good vibes, as often happens with Hope's Compass Project. Hope, do you know who the artists are going to be? Can you give us any preview, drop any names, or should we come out and see?
We are asking people to come out and see because we've not even notified the artists yet. So the deadline is this weekend for the artists to submit. We have been looking at what the submissions are so far. So we have artists who are, I would say, from 20 all the way up to, I'm guessing, 70 years old, which is a nice range. for us to see of people who found out about the project from a mailing from DVAA, from now they'll hear about it from WJFF, from also from the newspapers and social media. So I'm very happy that we have tapped into a wide audience and that we're also able to collaborate with Lori and Kaz at Casa di Longobardi. So they're going to be offering food and that'll be a nice family-friendly atmosphere. And we are providing as much of the financial background as possible for it. So it's a suggested donation of $20 per person. And we want to welcome anyone who would like to come, to please come. We are limited to 50 seats.
Yes, which is why we're trying to push the pre-registrations. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a fantastic buffet lined up by Lori and Kaz at Casa di Longobardi. We are in for a treat. The music is going to be phenomenal. The art, there's going to be art opportunities for everybody in attendance as well. And, you know, one of the things that Hope was just pointing out is the community behind making this event happen as well. You know, it was DVAA's mailing list. It was Allie from New Memories sharing posts on Instagram for us. I know right now that there's people I am forgetting, and I am so sorry that I'm forgetting your name because we have had so much help come through, and that's it's friendship. It's friendship and community and different organizations coming together to support each other. Steam Fund is offering us their cocktail tables at no cost. So we just got to go pick them up and then we can use them. And it's things like that, you know, where people are just coming together in what they can offer to a specific event and making it the best that it can be. And I'm so excited to be a part of it.
And among the people that have helped behind the scenes are Tom Boskett and Isaac from Engine. We've had Sullivan 180, the county legislators, Assemblymember Paula Kay, 10th Floor Productions, Sean and Amanda. So, and it's really, I think yesterday, hearing Lourdesa and Shane rehearse in this space was like such heartwarming chills. So the public's really in for a good surprise.
Oh, yeah. My eyes were tearing up yesterday. That is for sure.
Okay. And this event is Voices Through Brush Strokes. It's happening at the Liberty Mall right there on Sullivan Avenue in Liberty. And this is Thursday, August 20th, and it's happening in the evening, 5 to 7. And of course, that's August 20th. But this weekend, this Sunday, August 2nd, there's also Harmonic Voyages in the Park, Harmonic Voyage, happening in LaPolte Park, and that's Sunday afternoon at 4. What's the best way for people to find out more information about either of these events?
Is to go to hopescompass.org, so www.hopescompass.org, and on the Facebook.
And how can people find out more about Gress Productions?
We are at www.gressproductions.com, and we are also on Facebook and Instagram.
Amanda and Hope, thank you so much for coming in and bringing the good vibes, as always.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much. Thanks for having us.
Well, that is it for the local edition tonight. I'm Jason Dole. Thank you so much for being here with me. Remember, we've got more news for you whenever you need it at WJFFradio.org and also on the Radio Catskill mobile app. Download it now if you don't have it already. It will keep you in touch, especially when we've got big breaking news and emergency information like we just had this week with the big storms. Coming up at 7, you got 2 hours of music DJed for you live by Andy Carlson on Ramble Tamble. But before that, we do have more news next on The Daily. This is Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR.
Support comes from Sullivan 180. Building healthy communities through people, places, and policy, one degree at a time. More information at sullivan180.org and from listeners like you who donate at wjffradio.org.
This week on Science Friday, the majesty and mystery of sharks. Plus, is space cuisine due for a giant leap for all of astronaut kind?
I've had astronauts that tell me they've put Dijon mustard on apple pie just to make it, you know, taste halfway decent.
That's on Science Friday from WNYC Studios.
Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. on Radio Catskill.
No radio? No problem. The Radio Catskill app has you covered. Hear conversations, music, and NPR live, no radio required, and stay up on the latest local news whenever you need it. Download the Radio Catskill app today.
WJFF Jeffersonville, this is Radio Catskill. local news, culture, and NPR.